You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's hour two. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. If you missed Chris Collinsworth last hour, he was great. Had some really, really great analysis of the Packers and Josh Allen. And if you missed any of our interviews, you can go to danpatrick.com. We will bring back some of Chris's comments coming up a little bit later on. There was a UFC fight over the weekend with Conor McGregor being knocked out. Ariel Helwani, who covers the sport for the Mothership, will join us coming up a little bit later on this hour. Your phone calls are welcome, as we always do every Monday, best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. And we say good morning to our radio and TV partner. Our TV partner is Peacock. Radio partner is numbering almost 400 cities around America. When Aaron Rodgers won his first Super Bowl, it was back in 2011. Packers fans probably thought, this is the first of many. But the NFL can be fickle, can be cruel. And even though Aaron Rodgers has played at an MVP level, Green Bay has fallen short in the playoffs time after time after time. They've gotten to the NFC title games. Rodgers can be brilliant, but that's still not always enough. And we saw that yesterday against the Buccaneers. After the game, he certainly didn't look like himself, sound like himself. He's usually pretty even-keeled, a little bit snarky, sarcastic, but he looked defeated, as he said, gutted. No matter what he does, though, the Pack, they keep hitting a wall. And Packers fans during the game yesterday, and even after the game, were reliving the draft of Jordan Love. If we only would have taken an offensive tackle or a cornerback or a tight end. Now you got a problem with the Jordan Love draft, huh? Well, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers gets back to this place. This is an MVP season. You had Tom Brady and company coming to your place for the NFC title game. But, you know, you got to give credit to Tampa's defense. Tampa's defense won that game yesterday, in my opinion. We've seen other great quarterbacks have similar journeys here. You know, Brady's the outlier, but Brett Favre won only one Super Bowl. Drew Brees won only one. Peyton Manning won two, but more of a bystander in that second one. But Rodgers, I don't know. He's down. He's out. Does he want to stay in Green Bay? He seemed to have a cryptic message when he was on the podium yesterday. When he's playing well, he makes the NFL a whole lot more fun. But all he has to do is look across the line of scrimmage and see Tom Brady is going to the Super Bowl at the age of 43. And Rodgers is just 37. I say just 37 because that's the way we look at quarterbacks now. And by comparison, he's 6 years younger than Tom Brady. Hopefully he makes another run at a trophy soon. But yesterday wasn't to be. Here's Aaron Rodgers on what is next after this loss.
There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now. I'm going to have to take some time away for sure and clear my head and just kind of see what's going on with everything. But it's pretty tough right now, especially thinking about the guys that may or may not be here next year. There's always change. That's the only constant in this business. It's really tough to get to this point. Really, really tough, especially with it only being one bye week in the playoffs. It's a grind just to get to this point. And that makes the finality of it all kind of hit you like a ton of bricks. That's why it's a gutting feeling in your stomach.
That's what hit me. Because I wanted to leave that in because I think it was just the enormity sort of hit him there where you want to exhale. You want to try to not say something you're going to regret. You know, if you're 30 years of age, 25 years of age, you think you're going to be back. You expect to be back. He's 37. And this was a very good year for the Packers. You have to win the home game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then Tom Brady throws three interceptions on three consecutive drives, and you don't take advantage of them. And then the opportunity with a little more than 2 minutes to go, you got to score a touchdown at some point. And you decide to kick the field goal. Chris Collinsworth had a great breakdown on this. And if you didn't hear it, you can listen to the entire interview or I'll bring it back a little bit later on. Kevin King did not have a good day at all as he gave up a couple of touchdowns, including Scotty Miller sprinting right past him for another touchdown. Gave up one earlier with Mike Evans. That was the Buccaneers' first touchdown. Had a pass interference call. Leonard Fournette blasted King with his shoulder, then rode him into the end zone to give Tampa Bay the lead. But it was not a good afternoon for the defensive back. But I'm going to give a lot of credit to the defense for the Buccaneers. For the second consecutive week, they won a football game. And Brady was took advantage in the first half. He looked like somebody had taken over his body in one of those body swap movies in the second half, because I kept going, where's Tom Brady? Because that's not Tom Brady. But they made some plays when they needed to make them, and now you have a home game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. By the way, they're underdogs at home. Right now the line's around 3, 3.5. And I was wondering, if Kansas City was hosting the Super Bowl, they would probably be a 6.5-point favorite. You know, Tampa is hosting the Super Bowl, but let's say Kansas City was hosting, would they be a touchdown favorite? And that's probably the case. But Tom doesn't mind being an underdog. He's been an underdog quite a few times. So I'm sure, worst case scenario, you're still playing at home and you don't have to go to Lambeau. Yeah, Paulie.
I was thinking about this on the drive in. If the Packers had somehow made the comeback and won the game, what would we be talking about today? How critical would we have been of the 3 second-half interceptions of Brady? And would he get the tag of losing this game like he's getting the credit for winning this game?
Yeah, he doesn't deserve the credit for winning the game. This is a team win. It's not going to be presented that way because, you know, these shows, TV shows, radio shows, nobody's interested in talking about Scotty Miller or the defensive front or Shaq Barrett. Not going to happen. It's all about Brady. And, you know, the same can be said for the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. This is about Patrick Mahomes. No, it should be about the entire Kansas City Chiefs. That secondary was wonderful yesterday. They really were. Travis Kelce was brilliant. We expect Mahomes to be great. But I gave you a stat last week. Might have been Thursday or Friday. And I said, Buffalo this year during the regular season allowed more receptions for the tight end than any other team in football. They stayed true to that stat because Travis Kelce was wonderful. He had 13 catches. He was targeted 15 times. And he's beating defensive backs. Used to be your tight end would be on a linebacker. That's not the case because they're so good, so athletic, and Kelce is going up against cornerbacks and single coverage, and because you got to decide who we doubling. Well, you can't double both of them, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, but you have to have the who are they doubling this time? Like, you have to have some doubt and you have to be aggressive with Kansas City. Buffalo did not look like they were on the same playing field in more ways than one with Kansas City last night. Great year, but Kansas City is just different. They've been through this. Buffalo has not. And this might be one of those where next year, 2 years, 3 years down the road, Josh Allen talks about this moment, this learning moment. You know, the Bulls had the Pistons. The Pistons had the Celtics. You have these moments where you got to get through them, and then you never look back. But if you don't beat Patrick Mahomes, you got to take advantage of these opportunities. But Cleveland will stand out to me this year because I think they had a chance that they could have beaten Patrick Mahomes. Well, they could have beaten the Chiefs. If you can't beat Chad Henne, then you have no shot against Patrick Mahomes. But I still think, and it was reemphasized to me yesterday by a source, that Mahomes did not have a concussion. He was diagnosed as a concussion. Therefore, he has to go through concussion protocol. The bigger issue was turf toe. And that's something that Buffalo never used to their advantage to make Patrick Mahomes run a little bit, put pressure on him. Easier said than done, but man, I got to live and die by being aggressive against him. And Tampa will be aggressive against him, absolutely, but you have to be. All right, phone calls, welcome. We'll get to those coming up. McLovin, do we have our poll question?
We started out with who's getting to a Super Bowl first, Josh Allen or Aaron Rodgers? Actually, 53% Josh Allen.
I think that we look at Buffalo as more of a positive story today. And, you know, Stephon Diggs was a wonderful pickup. They need a little bit more potent running game here. But they have some playmakers on that team. Yeah, I guess I can understand that. That here's Rodgers having a magical season, and you're playing at home and you don't win, and you probably think, we're not going to get back anytime soon. The Emmett Club.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is there a sense that the Packers are gone as far as they can with Rodgers?
I wouldn't say that. I think it'd be dangerous to say that, because I think people wrote off Tom Brady a year ago, the last couple of years. Oh, he's not a leader. Remember all the negative things that came out about Aaron Rodgers? Like, it felt like every year somebody would say something, and then all of a sudden it became exacerbated that, boy, how did he make it through this career, Hall of Fame career, and he's a terrible leader, and he doesn't take blame, and he had an MVP season. He's been written off before. It's just the words that he said, and he was picking them carefully about, I don't know who's going to be back. He's under contract. Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, the Packers are $27 million over the cap right now. Aaron Jones, the running back, he's a free agent. The other running back, Jamal Williams, free agent. They're probably going to lose both those guys, and because that's why they took A.J. Dillon.
Yeah.
Corey Lindley, the center, all-pro, free agent. So they have to sign him. He's only 30 years old. They got about six other free agents that they're not going to be able to sign. So this Packer team is going to lose probably four starters.
And we talked a lot about in the first half first hour of the show about that, the second half with 2 minutes to go, and do you go for a touchdown? And I would have gone for a touchdown, but I would have treated the four downs differently than just throw it into the end zone, those three passes. And, you know, as Chris Collinsworth brought it up, did Aaron Rodgers know on third down that they weren't going to go for it on fourth down? And if he didn't, then that's a big mistake by the Packers. Because if I'm going for it on fourth down, then I do run. I scramble. I go for it. But I didn't agree with it. And, you know, Matt LaFleur said, you know, he was asked if he regretted kicking a field goal on fourth down. He had this to say.
Yeah, anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right? It was just the circumstances of having three shots, coming away with no yards, and knowing that you not only need the touchdown, but you'd need the 2 point. So the way I was looking at it was essentially had four timeouts with the 2 minute warning. You know, we knew we needed to get a stop, and I thought we were going to have a stop there at the end, but you know, we got called for the PI. It didn't work out. So I think anytime something doesn't work out, do you regret it? Sure.
I was critiquing the moment, not the result. I was critiquing in the moment, saying, you know, when Aaron Rodgers is going off the field and he's basically going, what are we doing here? I think if you were at home, you might have been doing the same thing. I just wouldn't have had, that wouldn't have been my sequence of plays that I would have called if I knew it was four down territory. You score a touchdown. Okay, I can get a 2 point conversion. Now it looks like we're going to play for overtime. You still got to score a touchdown. At some point, you got to score a touchdown. The field position game, I certainly understand that. If you don't get the touchdown, they get the ball at the 8-yard line. Okay, if I stop them, I still have some timeouts, and I can still make another go at scoring a touchdown and 2-point conversion. By the way, Eric Fisher, the Kansas City Chiefs, I believe has a torn Achilles. Like, that was one of those, oh, by the way, wait, what just happened? Yeah, so they're going to be missing their starting tackles, and you saw how much pressure Tampa Bay can bring. And if they can do that with Aaron Rodgers, they're going to be going after Patrick Mahomes. All right, let me get to phone calls here. Dave in Nova Scotia. Hi, Dave. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, bud.
Hey, bud.
Dan, just like you said, Bucs defense leading the way, just like the last time we were successful in the playoffs. I mean, watching the defense come up just week after week has been huge. Really excited about 2 weeks. Wanted to get your take. So having a Super Bowl party here in 2 weeks at the Dave Cave. Yesterday had in-laws over, had a serious marinade going on, four-letter words flying every other play. What's your guys' take on having a crew over watching the game, you know, family, friends? Do you live and die by the play, or do you try to sit back, calm and collected, and keep it professional? Thanks for the call, Danny.
Well, if there's kids there, then, you know, you got to have a kind of a hall monitor there. How about a kids section and an adult section? But I watch the game by myself. That way I don't have to wait in line for the bathroom. I can drink what I want, smoke a cigar. I can yell. I don't have to worry about any of that. But you might like to hang out with people. I don't. Like, I love, you know, even when my wife does a drive-by, how's the game? It's good. It's good. And is that, so which one's Brady? That guy, right?
No, he's got some knowledge. Got to give her a little credit. I just don't like when they go, oh, it's 17 to 27, when they do things like that. Then, no.
Or something happens and then they want an explanation of something that you know is going to take a couple of minutes. You know, I don't want you coming down with a little more than 2 minutes to go as Aaron Rodgers is facing a 3rd and 8. So who's winning? Hold on here.
That's when you groan like Aaron Rodgers groaned at the end of that cut.
Yes, boy.
You've never been more right about anything. Watching the Super Bowl by yourself is the greatest thing in the world. You got food, you got drink, you don't have to share it.
I'm okay with it, yeah.
My wife, every year, she goes, do you want to go over to the neighbor's gym? He's having,
Or my wife will go, hey, I was thinking about inviting, no. No, don't. No need to. You know, maybe something earlier in the day, more than happy, but nah, I'm good. Ted in Tampa. Ted, we did it.
Yes, sir. Sure did. And you're right. It was a defense won a game yesterday, including Todd Bowles, the defense coordinator. You got to say the difference. Tom may have not won the game yesterday, but the difference this year between a losing record last year going to the Super Bowl this year was Tampa Bay. We do have your Super Bowl remote location set up. We did sound checks yesterday, so whichever one of the Danettes you want to send down, we're good. And then the worst of the day is, as we were sitting out watching the game yesterday, two of my guys got kind of unsightly sunburns. So,
well, thank you, Ted. Thank you for the invitation. I don't know if Ted ever hears no very often in his job, but yeah, we're not sending any Danettes down to Tampa. I'd love to, but we're not. Ted didn't bring up the offensive line. Remember all those weeks that Ted would call in and say, oh, their offensive line is terrible. I said, I'm assuming that they'll address it, and I'm assuming the offensive line is just a little bit better. Jeff in Detroit, then we'll take a break. Hey, Jeff, what's on your mind?
Hey, what up, though? One time for chat, Ro. First of all, saying goodbye to Matt Stafford is going to be kind of hard, but I kind of see it as like Justin Verlander-ish, setting him free and seeing what he can do. Somebody is definitely going to get
He went and won a World Series when he left
Detroit. Exactly. And I'm honestly thinking, you put Matt Stafford in the right situation, think about it. He's never out of the game. He can go the full length of the field within a minute's time. He's done it like 2-3 times this year. In a losing season under Matt Patricia. So I'm figuring somebody's getting a pretty good quarterback. I want to say this, though, and I feel very sorry for all Green Bay fans, because the one thing about a football player is they want to die on the field. Right there in the end zone, I got a chance to go to the Super Bowl. You have got to let that play go. You can't kick it because, I mean, what's the alternative? They get the PI and they get the purse, the what's the name, and the game is over with. You know what I'm saying? The game was totally over with one personal interference call. So you just, I mean, let Aaron Rodgers make his money. That's all I'm saying. The man is one of the best quarterbacks ever. We always say that. Let him prove it.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. I love how every quarterback is the right fit for the Patriots. Matthew Stafford, right fit for the Patriots. You know, Deshaun Watson would be the right fit for the Patriots. Why is it every quarterback is the right fit for the Patriots? We don't say that about other teams. Brady wasn't the right fit for the Patriots, but every other quarterback, you know, I could see Matt Ryan right fit for the Patriots. Yes, McLovin.
You know who's getting a little bit of that treatment too? Everybody fits with Kyle Shanahan in the Niners.
Yes, that's true. Except for their quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. I love how you put Deshaun Watson there. You put Matthew Stafford in a Kyle Shanahan offense. I'm like, how many quarterbacks you got? You got one. Yeah, McLovin.
But it's funny because Jimmy G actually does fit with the Patriots in real life. Mm. Make that happen, Dan.
Oh, I've been saying that for a long time. I would just, if I'm New England, I'd just say, hey, Kyle, I gift wrap Jimmy to you. Can I have him back? And then you guys can do whatever you want. And plus, You know, the Lions announced that they're parting ways with Matthew Stafford. So you lose some leverage there. And I don't know what you have to give up to get Matthew Stafford, who, by the way, salary-wise is a bargain. I mean, I get a proven quarterback. I don't know about the medicals. That'll be the biggest thing. When you get team doctors looking at Matthew Stafford, how banged up is he from all those years in Detroit? But are you getting a first-round pick? I had a source say you might get a second and a fourth for Matthew Stafford. But I don't know how he's valued. But at age 33, if I'm the Colts, you know, he fits right in with the Colts. They got a dome. He'll be at home there. All right, let me take a break. We'll give you our best and worst of the weekend. More phone calls coming up. 21 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. I feel special, though. I get to drive a Mercedes-Benz. And never in my wildest dreams when I was growing up did I ever think that I would drive a Mercedes-Benz. If I did, it would be because I stole it or it was a friend. I was a driver for somebody.
That was my plan.
Yeah. I never thought I'd have a Mercedes-Benz.
I remember growing up, one of my friend's parents had a Mercedes, and you were like, whew.
You've made it.
Dang.
Yeah, Paul.
Mr. Keeling, who also had an in-ground pool. In our town, we had one family that had a Mercedes and one that had an in-ground pool. It was like Dallas, man. It's awesome.
Yeah. You'll love these Mercedes-Benz. And they have the vans now. And we're giving away this Mercedes-Benz van, the Sprinter van. January 24th is when that contest ends. There's so many things here with the Sprinter van, the versatile Mercedes-Benz Metris, each tailored to match your work or play lifestyle. You go the extra mile. That's what Mercedes-Benz does. Go to the dealership, a test drive today, Mercedes-Benz vans. Some equipment described as optional. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Best and worst of the weekend. We'll go around the room. Go around the infield here. We'll start with Todd Fritz at third base. Todd?
My best of the weekend in a 128-124 win in Brooklyn against Miami. Kyrie scores 28 points, including 18 in the fourth quarter alone. Bam Adebayo puts up a career-high 41 in a losing effort. Worst of the weekend, tough loss for the UCLA Bruins, sadly, as Stanford's Oscar De Silva scores off an inbound pass at the buzzer in overtime, beats the Bruins 73-72, snapping the Bruins' undefeated record in the Pac-12.
All right, McLovin?
My worst is actually going to be college basketball. Just college basketball. I tried to watch Villanova Providence this weekend.
Oh, I was watching a little bit of that.
Yeah, and like Villanova started off, they're supposed to be this great team, and I tweeted like, this team is no good, and they went on a 49-7 run after that. But I'm having real trouble getting into it. My best is going to be everyone said it, the Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce combo. Oh my gosh, how do you stop them?
When you're watching Tyreek Hill run, there's that, it's just different. There's just something about it. And there's very, very few people in the world. When you watch the guys who are covering him and chasing him, they're very fast too. It's not like they run a 5.5, 40. You know? It's not Rich Eisen out there trying to chase him down. These are guys who probably run a 4.4, 4.4, 4.5, and he just makes them look like they're standing still. Yeah, McLovin.
By the way, you reminded me, no combine this year. Have you talked to Rich about what he's going to do?
Yeah, I probably still stage something, I'm going
to
guess.
Should we invite him to the man cave, see if he can outrun us?
Ooh.
Here? We got a four. Is our field 40 yards? It's close.
It's close. But, you know, Rich doesn't like when you bring up, you know, hey, I could run a faster 40-yard dash than you. Like, it's about him doing it and him raising money, you know, because do I think that, you know, we could outrun him? Maybe. You could, McLovin. I know that.
Oh, Seton could.
Seton could. You could. Paulie might, just because he's competitive.
Outrun Rich?
Yeah.
I think so.
I'd like to believe I can. I you know I'm not fast.
You could, because you're so competitive.
I am competitive, though.
Yeah, you could. Because you were competitive, yeah, no matter where your knee is.
I got an artificial knee.
You know, if we hit that clock, you would take off.
I might. I would want a piece of it. Let's put it that way.
I like how I'm not even mentioned at all in the conversation. As a remote possibility, I could keep up with him.
Do you want to run a 40-yard dash against
Rich? I don't.
Okay, then why?
My lower back started hurting this morning.
So I don't involve you because I don't want to say, well, Todd, you'd have no chance. Achilles, so then I leave you out, and then you go, wow, great, I don't even mention me.
Ultimately, I would probably lose that race, but I like to be included in things.
Seton O'Connor.
My worst of the weekend was Chiefs wide receiver Mecole Hardman and that fumble. Owie, man, that was just brutal. Watching him cover his face up with the jacket, all of his teammates coming over to him, like consoling him. Just really felt from him in that moment. My best of the weekend, though, was the way he rebounded from it, because nobody's really talking about his contributions, but damn, that dude is electric.
Yep.
He's super fast and just really good to see him sort of gather himself.
Yeah, you take that away from Buffalo, and they didn't do much last night. They gift-wrapped a muffed punt. Paulie, best and worst.
I don't know if this is best or worst. For three quarters or three and a half quarters, Rob Gronkowski did nothing. He didn't have one target the entire game.
I forgot he was in the lineup.
A lot of people did. He had one target last night, but it was a 29-yard catch where he dropped about four dudes and got a first down. So good job by Gronk. Other best of the weekend, wide receiver Scotty Miller of Tampa. A lot of people think he's a slot receiver like Wes Welker or Brandon Stokely and those type of guys. Well, if you go back to his draft profile by Lance Zierlein on NFL.com, his strengths, former track man with legit speed, ran a 4.39 40, early and late acceleration that can blow past cornerbacks, very athletic and loose in his movements. Are you sure this is Scotty Miller? Weaknesses, you're not going to believe this. Needs to improve route running. Scouts considered about durability. That's not Wes Welker-ish. That's the complete opposite.
And then you have Ryan Clark in the mothership, former defensive back, who's joining us top of the hour. He tweeted yesterday, Scotty Miller is not like any of those New England receivers. I'm tired of telling folks that. Nothing about number 10 says bring his lunch pail, first in, last out, coach on the field, reads the zone, dude is a burner, address him as such, LOL. Al in Atlanta. Hi, Al. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Happy Monday.
Thank you.
Got two worst and a best. The first worst is losing Hank Aaron and Larry King on back-to-back days last week and having it be so close to the anniversary of Kobe Bryant's death. Losing all three of those men who I looked up to professionally and personally is going to make this week in January a tough one for years to come.
Yep.
Second worst was how can the referees sit on their hands through four quarters of tugging and hand-checking, and then throw a flag at the most crucial time of the game, taking away my friend Joe and I having our birth home bowl. And best is, you know, while we didn't get the State Farm Bowl we were hoping for, I still get to watch the Chiefs take on Tommy and the Tux, and we get to have the GOAT versus the Kid. And a true answer of what's actually better, age and knowledge or youth and exuberance.
All right. Well, thank you. Took a while for that one to get out. Exuberance. But, we'll have some time to debate that. Yes, Paul.
I couldn't spell exuberance if you gave me like an hour to think about it.
Yeah. I think if I had him do it again, he wouldn't use that word. Julie in Minnesota. Hi, Julie.
Hey, PT. How are you?
Great. What's on your mind?
Good deal. I have to say this to you. With COVID and everything going on, there's been like a carousel of like quarterbacks. Bear with me. The song, Reunited, and it feels so good. Aaron Rodgers with Mike McCarthy Dallas.
Thank you, Julie. Oh, my God. She just blew my head off. Aaron Rodgers does not want to reunite with Mike McCarthy in Dallas.
For some reason, I have a memory of that not ending well.
Yeah, it didn't end well.
I don't know, but
I think Aaron has a better chance of getting back with Danica Patrick than he does with Mike McCarthy.
Too soon.
Too soon.
That's
okay, my bad.
Not necessary.
All right, my
not necessary.
Olivia Munn, how's that?
Okay.
Okay. Yes, McLovin.
That was the entire football conversation in my household was Aaron Rodgers' love life, by the way. I don't know if that came up when you guys were watching the game.
It did not.
Yeah, Shailene Woodley has not been well reviewed by my wife.
He's dating.
Big Little Lies.
Yes. Well, that are you sure they're? I know that was rumored.
Oh, that's not. Okay.
Well, I don't know.
If you don't know, then no one's going to
know. Well, no,
I know
that that was rumored, but I don't know. I need another source on it. Course.
My wife is a huge Bachelorette fan, and Jordan Rodgers was chosen in that, and she's worried about Aaron's disagreements with his family.
But you're pinning that on your wife that she's a huge Bachelor fan, but you watch.
I'm in the room. I'm being supportive of my wife by watching it.
Yeah. It's not just any game. It's Wednesday night hockey this week. Blackhawks Predators Wednesday night at 7:30 Eastern on NBC. Yes, yeah. Hunter in Wisconsin. Hi, Hunter. What's on your mind today?
Hey, morning, Dan.
Good morning, Hunter.
Season 220. I got worse and worse this weekend. Worse, obviously, losing Hank Aaron on Friday, an idol of mine. And then the Packers losing last night. I don't want to act like it's woe is me because I'm a Packer fan. We've been winning a lot, all that stuff. But two of the best quarterbacks in the history of football, 25-plus years, and they have two rings to show for it. It's just kind of sad.
Yeah, I always wondered if we would look back on Aaron Rodgers' career as to what could have been, because I don't think that the Packers front office was ever offensive-minded from the skill position standpoint. But that's all. You know, it'll be a shame. It's like Peyton Manning got a second. You know, he was along for the ride, but he got a second. Drew Brees, not going to get a second. Rodgers, probably not going to get a second. But you would think with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, you would have more than two Super Bowls to show for two of the top 10 quarterbacks, 15 quarterbacks of all time. And, you know, we spent a lot of time on Friday talking about Hank Aaron in the last hour, brought back an interview that I did from earlier this year in April. And I dearly love the man. I you know, it's not one of those. I didn't get a chance to cover him. I just looked up to him. I admired him. I loved his temperament. I love what he did. I love how he did it. And there was just something about he played the game. He didn't ask for anything. He gave you everything. He didn't ask for anything. He was just a great representative ambassador of the sport of baseball. I don't know if baseball did its part to return the favor. And Larry King, I remember my first job, I did morning drive radio in Dayton, Ohio, and I would come in usually around 4:30 in the morning, and I would listen to Larry King when he had his overnight radio show. And I just remember he would be like, "Open phones, America, Houston, hello." And I just was always fascinated that Larry would interview a variety of people. He was very curious about people. And wasn't afraid of asking a strange, difficult, tough question. And he interviewed everybody. 50,000 interviews, whatever it is, who knows. We'll take a break. We'll talk to Ariel Helwani from the Mothership about what's next for Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor got knocked out over the weekend. So we'll talk to him coming up. And top of the hour, Ryan Clark from the Mothership will join us. We'll talk some football with him back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Dunder Mifflin has a new home, The Office, streaming exclusively on Peacock. You can sign up at PeacockTV.com to stream now. Ariel Helwani, he covers the sport of MMA, UFC for the Mothership, and he was there to cover the Conor McGregor fight this weekend, Dustin Poirier, and he's set to join us here on the program. More phone calls coming up as well. What did you expect to happen this weekend, Ariel?
If I'm being honest, I expected Conor McGregor to win that fight, and that's no knock on Dustin Poirier. I just thought, considering how their first fight went 6.5 years ago, and considering how Conor looked and how he felt and what he was saying, I thought he was going to win, but I'm not surprised. And it really bothered me to hear the disrespect that Dustin was getting leading up to this fight, because I think a lot of casual fans just tune in for Conor fights and they say, oh, he beat him 6.5 years ago in less than 2 minutes. It's going to be a cakewalk. Dustin Poirier is one of the 10 best fighters on the planet, and no one should really be shocked by what he did on Saturday.
But if you're a casual fan, should you want to know more about Poirier or the condition of McGregor as he moves forward in his career?
I mean, obviously, Conor's the biggest star in the history of the sport, so I think his next move is probably what's of most interest to fans. you know, we live in this culture. One thing that really bothers me is, especially with fighting, you know, these memes and stuff of him being, you know, knocked out on the ground and mocking the fighters and stuff like that. Like, I think people are reveling in his quote unquote demise. I think I was on your show the Monday after his first fight, his first loss to Nathan Diaz, and everyone back then in 2016 was reveling in his demise. Yeah. What did he do? He dusted himself off and he won the rematch. So I suspect the same thing will happen here.
He's embraced the bad guy, right?
Honestly, if
you're the villain, the villain, how's that?
You know what? In the past, yes, but the last year or so, we have seen a change in his demeanor and in his character, so to speak. First of all, like this fight started with him pledging to donate $500,000 to Dustin's charity. Dustin has this amazing charity in Louisiana called the Good Fight Foundation, where he builds playgrounds and helps kids less fortunate. So that's how this really started. So he is donating $500,000. He's done a lot for his community back home in Ireland. If you look at the talk leading up to the fight, there was no trash talk. If you look at the video and the scenes after the fight, no trash talk, hugging, saying, I'm happy for you. So this isn't the Conor who fought Floyd. He's trying to change. Now, if he fights a guy like Khabib, who he intensely hates, I suspect the old Conor could come back.
Yeah, is that good for the sport that Conor McGregor is the new and improved Conor McGregor?
So leading up to this fight, I had a lot of people say like, oh, I miss the trash talking Conor, right? Like, I want the showman. I want the braggadocious guy who's going to go out there and hurl these insults. I personally think that he fights better this way, but maybe there's something to be said for going back to the old Conor. Maybe there's something to be said for that guy who was, you know, poking the bear, trying to climb the ladder, trying to get everyone's attention. Maybe that gave him a little oomph. I feel like that's looking into it a little too much. But yes, there's no doubt about it. People fell in love with this guy, not because he was donating money to his opponent's charity. They fell in love with him because he was, you know, calling people names and pretty much turning the whole sport upside down. So yes, there's absolutely a point to be made there.
Did Khabib get McGregor's attention, do you think, when he kind of called? Like, I'm trying to understand this because he's just saying basically, hey, come on, you know, you got something to say, come on in. Let's, you know, if I'm Khabib, I'm going like, why?
Yeah, so, you know, this whole thing has been sort of blown out of proportion. You recall back in July of 2010 at the Boys and Girls Club in Stamford, Connecticut, there was something dubbed as the decision. You remember that, right?
I vaguely recall that, yes.
Yeah, we found out if LeBron likes to bite his nails and all that stuff. Well, this was worse than that decision. I never thought I'd see a worse decision than the one in 2010, but what they've done with Khabib has been worse because there is no decision to be made. This guy has been very clear about his intentions. His father passed away. His mother, who he's very close to, has said, I don't want you to fight without your father by your side. And he is respecting that. We need to leave the guy alone. We need to let him go off onto the sunset. If he wants to come back in 2 years, great, but take the belt away, vacate it. To be honest, this fight on Saturday should have been for the vacant title. And so I don't think he's coming back. I don't think he was coming back if Conor won. And I certainly don't think he's coming back now that Dustin Poirier won, because he beat Dustin Poirier in 2019. There's really no reason, no purpose for him to come back at this time. And I wish they would just leave him alone.
How would you sum up the last 10 months for UFC?
Oh my gosh. It has been a whirlwind. So as you know, they were the first ones to come back. They wanted to come back in April. They were told to stand down by Disney in the state of California. Dana White forged on, much to the chagrin of some. He put on the events in Florida and then in Vegas and in Abu Dhabi. I think that as a result of being first, and though they rolled the dice, and I even had reservations about them coming back so soon in the pandemic, they have earned a lot of new fans and a lot of people who never spoke to me about MMA, friends, family, neighbors, now love the sport because in May, June, and July, there was nothing going on. There was nothing to gamble on, and they fell in love with the sport. So the UFC capitalized on that. And if you look at the numbers for this pay-per-view, they're saying 1.6 to 1.8 million. That's a smashing success.
When does a fighter get old in UFC?
Well, you know, my co-host, Daniel Cormier, is 41 and he just retired, and he was a two-time Olympian. So it depends on your career. It also depends on the damage that you take. You know, there's a lot of guys who get into these firefights each and every time they fight and come 31, 32, 33, they start to slow down. You have other guys like Khabib, who's in his early 30s, who's taken almost no damage throughout his career, and I suspect he could fight into his 40s. Conor, this was his first time that he'd ever been KO'd or TKO'd. He had never really taken this kind of damage in a fight. I mean, of course, he's been submitted, but that's different, right? So I was saying, you know, if he still wants to do this, he could do this into his late 30s. So it really depends. I mean, one of the greatest fighters of all time, Randy Couture, started fighting in his mid-30s and went into his mid-40s. So it's not quite like baseball, basketball, football, where there, you know, you start when you're early 20s and then you're kind of done by your mid to late 30s. It's a little different in that regard.
I was talking to the wife last night and we were wondering where we could take the kids. And I was wondering, can you vacation on Fight Island?
If you have a lot of money, and also if you have some connections, you know, Fight Island is not really like a fight. It's just a place. It's brilliant marketing on their part. They have been to quote unquote Fight Island many times in the past. In fact, I was there 11 years ago. It's Yaz Island in Abu Dhabi. And, you know, the geniuses at the UFC dubbed it Fight Island. And to their credit, it caught on. But they did have fans in attendance. So people did fly in from all over, they said. And, you know, they had around 2,000 for this fight. The prices were, you know, astronomical. Like, I think that the cheapest ticket was like 2,000, 2,500, something like that. So, yes, you could go to Abu Dhabi, Dubai. And if you look at the scenes over there, it seems like they're handling the pandemic a little better than we are over here. But you're not really going to see much if you go to quote unquote Fight Island, because it's basically just an arena and a hotel.
Yeah, as long as it's all inclusive, that's what my wife wanted to know. Yeah. You know, like we could do a ground and pound restaurant. It could be like a steakhouse.
You yes. Know, you know, I mean, arm bar. You
know, arm bar. It? Yeah, the arm bar. I love arm that.
great. I thought of that off the top of my head, by the way.
No, that's well done. Hey, I would grab it. I'd trademark that thing. The arm bar. Let Conor McGregor know.
You know what? I think he's doing pretty well with his whiskey and all his other endeavors. I might hold on to that one. Dana White will probably watch this and steal it and trademark it within the next 10 minutes, though.
Great to talk to you, Ariel. Thanks for joining us as always, buddy.
Anytime. Thank you.
I like that. The arm bar. Ariel Helwani. Could have different drinks named after MMA fighters there. You know, Conor McGregor helped build the UFC into a multi-billion dollar company. But, you know, when stars decline, you got to find that next star. And look, he's only 32. Still has the star power to be the biggest draw in the sport by far. Do I think he's done? No. But are his better days behind him? Yes. But that doesn't mean he can't win again. But he can also draw. Although the nicer Conor McGregor donating money to charity, that's not what we're used to buying into. You don't read about those things. But, you know, this happens all the time. Muhammad Ali. And then we waited. Would we ever find a Muhammad Ali? Mike Tyson came along. You know, they come in. They grab the sport by the throat, and then after a while, the sport, you know, discards them. But, you know, eventually the days of building off Conor McGregor are going to come to an end, and you start to think, who is next? Is there somebody out there? And I know within the circles, the inner circles of USC, they'll tell you, oh, this person or this person, this. I'm talking about somebody who's a crossover star, where somebody who doesn't watch the sport will pay to watch the sport. There's very few of those athletes, that crossover power where you go, I don't like golf, but I'll watch Tiger Woods. Ryan Clark of the Mothership. What was Aaron Rodgers saying at the end of the game, after the game? Who has a better chance of getting back to the Super Bowl or back to an AFC-NFC title game, Josh Allen or Aaron Rodgers? He'll join us coming up. With the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. It's back. Todd, do you know how much you can win?
A lot.
You can win $50,000. So why not try it? Rocket Mortgage hosting the largest official game of Super Bowl Squares ever, Todd.
That's like a lot of Mountain Dew and pizza, it sounds like.
That's with millions of dollars in prizes. And you can enter for free, so it's perfect for you, Todd.
Perfect.
$50,000 on every score change. Plus, two lucky players will win $500,000 they could use towards their dream home. Touchdowns, field goals, extra points. Every scoring play pays. You can follow along February 7th to see if you're a winner. It's free to enter. Easy to play. See rules? Enter now at RocketMortgageSquares.com. That's RocketMortgageSquares.com. No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the 50 U.S. states and D.C. who are the age of majority. It will end on February 4th of 2021 at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. Equal housing lender, licensed. All 50 states, NMLS number 33.